Blog Talk Radio.
It's a poignant, transcendent journey. Riveting and raucous, it's a wild, exhilarating ride. Everybody fasten your seatbelts.
I am celebrating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of HIAC Talk Radio. I am, of course, your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me, of course, at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio, also on Twitter. Like the Facebook, that's facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio, and there's plenty of other places, including the website, HIACTalkRadio.com, for all your needs. Now, with me as always, he is the co-host with the mostest. He is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you, Dan?
I am doing better than I ever have in a couple of years, and you can find me on Twitter at DanLaw83 and the Monday Night Show Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
That's right. And, of course, our MMA and wrestling analyst, it is Omega Squad, Chris Green. Omega, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic as well. Find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Yes. You still have some tickets for tomorrow, don't you? Maybe we can put out the call to action.
I do, if you can get to Greensboro by noon tomorrow.
If you can get to Greensboro by noon tomorrow, you can have, what is it, two tickets to the afternoon something or other?
Just playing?
Two tickets to the ACC tournament Thursday afternoon session. There will be two games, Maryland versus Florida State and Pittsburgh versus Wake Forest.
Free of charge.
That's what we do. It's our giveaway. If you call in right now at 718-664-9133 and can get to Greensboro,
I'm going to put that up.
Happen to be listening live to this podcast.
If all those things are happening,
call in to win.
That's right. The very first caller. I'm not going to wait for the seventh caller. No, that's not our style. We're going to go with the first caller.
Why not?
Because I have nothing whatsoever planned for the first 15 minutes.
All right, good night.
I'm just kidding.
Good night, folks.
What is with your good night? Don't good night it.
No, it's
we
a good night.
We have plenty
I'm
to talk
kidding.
About. We okay, have plenty to talk about.
Let's rock this mother.
Now, of course, tonight we're going to be joined by Scott Summers. He's a very irritable man. He has a fight coming up this Saturday. Of course, it's On Point Wrestling coming back to Sports and More in Sewell, New Jersey. Look it up on a map. It's right there. Scott Summers is coming from Texas, and he is upset. Upset, and he's going to take out his frustrations against our other guest tonight, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. Scott Summers will be here approximately in 10 minutes, God willing. Like I said, he's irritable.
He's the man who says what he has to say and says it quickly. He doesn't mince words.
And Matt Tremont will be here in 55 minutes at this point. So we will have those. And we're also going to break down this card. Of course, this is On Point Wrestling's sixth event. It's Throwdown. It's coming up, of course, this Saturday night, Dan. What do you have to say just when you think about Throwdown?
Well, it's a good name for it for what might go down. And I think I picked a good event. I mean, not that the events before that were not good, great, or excellent, or whatever you want to say your opinions be, but I've missed the shows. I'm happy to see this show. There's good matches on it. There's good people. I'm looking forward to it. And you should be there.
And, of course, we will be discussing UFC 171 that's coming up this weekend, Omega. Your thoughts very briefly about UFC 171. We're going to crown a new welterweight champion now that the king has been uncrowned.
Without giving away the whole segment, I think this is a card that has a lot of talent from top to bottom, and it's definitely one you don't want to miss.
That's for sure. It does look like an extremely good card, and we're also going to talk about a UFC fight night that was only available on Fight Pass because that's the new business model for UFC. Did you happen to catch it?
I did.
How was that main event? I know there was a TKO in the second round.
It was... Underwhelming, I guess, but definitive.
Underwhelming, but definitive. I think that's going to be my new motto.
There you go.
Underwhelming, but definitive. Welcome to HIAC.
I can get into it if you want, but I figure we just wait till later. But.
Yeah, we'll wait till about, at this point, 24 minutes from now. So people from home.
Ish.
Well, you never know.
You never know. You never know what will happen here on HIAC Talk Radio.
Well, you nailed it right on the head on that one. Whatever I just said.
Nailed the head?
I nailed the head.
Another one, Dan.
God damn it.
Another one for the vault.
You know...
Oh!
Shut up, Chris. That's all. Well, you know what? I'll just default to that.
Well, there you go. Dan!
Flaming fire.
Dan,
there
was a very interesting hockey story, and I know this is out of character for me, but apparently a guy died, and then he came back, or he was unconscious, and he wanted to play. Just give me a very brief story here, because it was an interesting story that really is interesting.
Rich Peverle of the Dallas Stars got off a shift, was sitting on the bench, and dropped, literally dropped. Now, I'm not sure if he lost a pulse, but the doctors are calling it a cardiac event. The man has an irregular heartbeat.
That sounds like what you can explain HIAC Talk Radio as well. A cardiac event.
That's a cardiac, I think.
Underwhelming, but definitive.
He was putting off surgery to correct this until after the season. Well, guess what? He went out, they worked on him, got him back, and, apparently the words out of his mouth were, how much time's left in the period.
Now, see, I bring that up, Dan, because I have seen wrestlers drop on their head, I've seen people break necks, broken spines, broken legs, broken appendages of all types. I've seen it, Dan.
Yeah.
They want to continue.
Yeah, I will never understand the heart and the brain of an athlete, and I'm going to put a very general statement because most athletes, injury or not, I tend to see it more in wrestling, hockey. If they get injured, if it's not
MMA.
Absolutely. If it's not a life-threatening injury or they can still walk, kind of, because I've seen guys, Triple H, kind of not be able to walk and still finish the match, they will continue. They will go on if they can. But the doctor stopped him, took him to the hospital, and he's taken off the rest of the season. He's going to have the surgery now to correct it.
Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Or, don't. Have surgery when you need it. That's basically what the moral is right there.
Yeah, I don't know the story behind that part on why he was waiting. I know why he wanted to finish the season. He just found out before the season started.
Well, it probably would have been better to get this taken care of, Dan.
It would seem to me that logic would dictate that if I'm going to do a high cardio, form of sport, I would, and I have a heart problem, I might do something to correct that prior to passing out on the ice. Just me. I might be wrong in that.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but
then again, I'm not getting paid like he is. So.
Yeah, he's one of those good ones. He's not a superstar, but he's a name. You know what I mean? So he is getting paid handsomely. And even with the surgery, you know, he's fully covered, and hopefully he takes his time, gets it done, gets back on the ice if he can. But this is his family, and that's what's important first.
I think it's if he can. That's the point. We talk about it with professional wrestlers. We talk about it with MMA fighters. We should talk about it with pretty much anyone. There's no game that is worth risking your life for, in my opinion, at least at that level.
The NHL is starting to kind of, you know, follow that, like with, and again, it goes back to wrestling, and especially MMA, get kicked in the head, the concussion thing. When you get hit in the head, and Dean, I've shown you some videos of guys getting hit. If it's a head hit and you are not immediately up on your feet, you're out, period. You're evaluated, you're checked, it might be a day, it might be a week, but they have vigorous concussion tests in the locker room. Until you pass that test, you don't put a pair of skates back on.
MMA doesn't have that, per se. They have human error and judgment. Oh. Correct me if I'm wrong, Omega.
They have a doctor.
Well, they have a doctor, but I'm saying the third man in the cage is a referee who, as we asked Bill Bookwater, he is not medically trained. Now, he is trained to see if a guy is going to sleep, if a guy is getting choked out, if he can't properly defend himself, but this is all judgment calls, as even he said.
Sure. I mean, there's plenty of judgment. I mean, but the ref can stop the fight and then have the doctor look at something. But, you know, if the guy's got a busted hand or something like that.
Well, I'm saying more to the degree of someone like Chuck Congo, for example. When he was wobbly, he was out. And Mergliano, they let the fight continue.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
whoever refs the Junior Dos Santos muggings went through.
Your point is well taken. That is true. I mean, the doctor isn't stopping the fight. The ref has to stop the fight, or the corner, I guess. But yeah, it's the ref's responsibility to stop the fight before a guy takes too much damage. And we've seen, as you said, human judgment has let things gone on too far. But you know, we've seen guys go early too. So
very true. Now, one thing I do want to make a comment of, unless you had a further comment on this, Dan.
No, I would not want to be a referee in that situation to try to determine if the man is near going into a vegetable or not. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's a lot of pressure, man.
Well, sure.
Other than the fighters in the fight, that's oof.
They signed up for this. These referees, these fighters, they know what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Saturday Night Live, I'll tell you that.
Definitely not.
Now, one thing I did want to make a comment of before we move too far along is the Mystery Men came out with an official video for Keep My Heat On. If you haven't seen it, go to lucha-rock.com to check that out. Dan, did you see it?
Of course I did. In fact, I watched it on my high-definition television with the Xbox app.
There you go.
It looks really good.
It does. It's a fantastic video. I hope it gains more of an audience. The Mystery Men, of course, friends and supporters of this very show, HIC Talk Radio. And you never know what interview you're going to get. He has been on three different programs now on this very network, and you just never know what you're going to get out of El Diablo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had more to add.
I was hoping.
He's a character, and the mask goes with that character. And I have not had the pleasure of meeting him in person yet, but yes, I've heard him give an interview, and I think it adds to the band, the Mystery Men.
I like to keep you on your toes, Dan.
That's okay.
I like to keep the heat on, and I like to keep you very firmly upon your toes.
Thank you.
Now,
the toes of a ballerina.
Moving right along, now we're going to talk about this more in depth, but I do want to talk about Raw this past week. They did the Occupy Raw. They did Daniel Bryan's in WrestleMania. He's going to have to take on Triple H. If he wins, he goes to the triple threat. What do you guys think about that? Do you think they were caving into pressure, or was this the plan all along?
Chris, go first, please.
I think they were... I don't know if it was caving into pressure. I think they did the best they could when CM Punk took off. That being said, it's easy enough to see where the wind is blowing. And see, I mean, I think the plan was Batista. I think that was the plan. And then people decided they really didn't want Batista. You know? So I think they had to call an audible, and I think they did it in one of the more memorable ways in recent years.
Part of me has been, and I agree with you, by the way, and I'll explain. Part of me wants this so badly just to prove people wrong that this was the plan all along. WWE is that creative. But I think I think you're right, dealing with what they had. CM Punk respectfully made a decision, whether we like it or not. I think it did put, we kind of skipped over this, it kind of put WWE in a spot. And they had to fill that spot. And with the Batista thing, it got sour real quick, and I really think this is the audible. It's a good audible, and I just I'm happy because it goes with the main event I picked on the our booket of WrestleMania, which Dean, you were involved with too, the Batista versus Orton and Bryan. Wow, I draw a blank there on Orton. It's because he's so boring.
Well, that being said, I think this is a fantastic... Do you think that the show will open with Bryan and Triple H started out hot, give people some hope? Do you think they go with the original plan, though, and when the triple threat happens, do you think it ends with Batista being crowned new champion? Now, that would be a big middle finger to the fans.
I was actually thinking about that, and that's that's what I came up with. I was like, I think they started off like that with the Triple H Bryan match, and they still have Batista with the title at the end of the night. Anybody but Orton.
Down. Yeah. Well, I have a problem with them doing that on the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania. You know, why would you?
What part?
Well, of letting Batista win, not ending the show with a face going over.
I think it would be their way with what they've been trying. I mean, you can't that the Occupy WWE Raw was not a slap in the face of Chicago trying to take over Raw. I think it is.
I would agree with that, and I believe they're completely capable of flipping everyone the bird and putting Batista over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't think I don't think it's what I would do. Even thinking from a business perspective, taking the fan out of it, I don't think I would do that.
No, I think I would do the obvious and put, if we're talking what we would do, I would put Bryan over. I think it's money right now. Not that they're hurting. I just think it's money right now. But I have a feeling that they're going to, I don't know. I think they're going to, I think Batista still. I really do.
Well, I think Batista will get the belt eventually. In short order, honestly. But what I've read, you know,
Seen for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, the theory would be, you know, Bryan back to Batista, back to Bryan, you know, or something like that.
So like, are we all... Something like that. I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to do that to you.
No, that's just kind of how I see it, but I mean, it can completely go Batista, and then you're sitting here till SummerSlam until Bryan maybe picks up the belt someday.
Are we in agreement that pretty much CM Punk is out of the question, because I'm cool with that?
I think he's done.
All right, cool. No, cool, because, you know, I was thinking about it after, it was something Dean said, and I was like, you know, and I kind of touched upon it a couple of minutes ago, he did kind of do the Austin thing and just was like, I'm leaving. Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Is it awesome? I guess it's what we all, you know, fantasize we could do to our bosses. basically say, screw it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but just because you have that power doesn't mean you should use that power.
I agree, and I think that's where I was heading. You know, should he have done it? I don't know. There's a very strong part of me that says, you know, I can't make someone go in and risk their body like that. But there's also a big part of me that says, that's kind of childish, dude. You know, there's you were champion for 400 days, you know. You can play ball for a while.
I agree with you because there'd be a couple times I wanted to tell my boss the worst things to her. But it didn't.
Terrible things.
Terrible. But I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. If CM Punk were to come back, I think there's a perfect loop, a perfect hole for him to fit right into. And that would, of course, be during the Brock Lesnar-Undertaker match.
Mmm. Didn't even think of that.
Indeed.
I disagree.
Perfect hole for him right there.
What do you mean?
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see it either.
No,
but I'm saying if they wanted to insert him, and if you wanted the streak to end, I don't know why you would prick Brock Lesnar to do that.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But,
you know, I said to Kelly...
well, but think back, and sorry, Dan, but think back.
Right.
Brock Lesnar coming back, he really hasn't accomplished much. Maybe this is the payoff for Brock Lesnar.
I was saying to Kelly the other night, watching the end of Raw after the show, I said, I have this weird feeling that Brock's going over at 30. I hope, you know, I've been wrong before. But I just have this weird feeling.
Well, it's the annual Undertaker is losing this year.
Yeah.
For the past 5 years, I've been saying it. So.
Yeah, and I said it last year, too. And I don't know, I didn't say it at first. And I have this weird feeling. I really want to be wrong. Anybody but Brock. You know, the point Kelly made, and Chris, I'll let you go, and I was interested to see how you feel. Well, why would you give it to a part-time? Why would you give the win to a part-time dude?
That was exactly my point.
Oh, okay.
Why would you waste that on a guy who wrestles three times a year?
As opposed to a guy that wrestles once a year.
Was my
reply.
I can agree with all this, but we have our first guest, and we're going to get to him right now. It is, of course, Scott Summers. He's coming in for On Point Wrestling this Saturday. And he'll be on right after this. All right, Scott. I do want to thank you for your time because I know that you are very busy and you are a busy man. But, Scott, you're coming to New Jersey. You're taking on Matt Tremont. What do you got to say about Matt Tremont and coming back to New Jersey?
Well, I mean, did you expect it? I don't know. You guys expected anything less? That's why I didn't expect anything less. I mean, when I first showed up there, you know, Chris Dickinson is a beast, man. That dude is an absolute terror on the pro wrestling scene. And, you know, it doesn't stop for me there. You know, I don't settle for that. Most guys will have their little match, and no matter what, you know, if they do well, they move on. Or, you know, if they do well, they get a rematch, you know. Chris, by all means, deserves a rematch. But me, like, I know how the pecking order works, you know, and I know you have to earn your keep and earn your spot. So, I mean, of course, Matt Tremont's got to be next. People around those parts don't know about this. They've seen the battles between me and Masada, but, you know, Matt Tremont's that guy. Matt Tremont's supposed to be that new breed of Masada. So, of course, I've got to, you know, throw my hat in the ring, so to speak, and gotta fight the guy. He's probably the best doing it right now, besides Masada. So,
now going back to the Chris Dickinson match, what are your thoughts? It was very highly touted for On Point Wrestling, probably the match of the year for On Point Wrestling last year. What were your thoughts of that match once everything was said?
As far as it being the match of the year, that's up to people saw it, and you know, all in all, that means a lot to me and Chris because we were the ones putting our brains and, you know, blood, sweat, and, well, my brains pretty much were getting splattered all over the place again. It was violent, and I told people it was going to be violent, and, you know, and you're going to get to see a little bit of everything. It's wrestling and violence, you know. I think a lot of it gets lost in the blood and the macabre and the goriness, you know, the actual talent a lot of these guys, quote-unquote, deathmatch guys have. So, It was an absolute blast, and the fans at On Point were very amazing, which was surprising. I don't always know if I'm the most likable guy, but you know, it was awesome to have that kind of support.
Now, getting back to you and Trima, you guys kind of have a mutual respect for each other. There's not really the type of animosity that you and Chris Dickinson had. So why do you have this respect for... Go ahead.
You got to see, man, that it's Matt's a guy a few words. Does that make sense? Where Dickinson is your East Coast loudmouth, and I'm from Boston, and he's from New York, so there's that natural rivalry, you know what I mean? It's just like if the Sox were playing the Yankees, in Chris's case, he likes the Mets. But with Tremont's done a little bit more. He's done things. He doesn't have to talk as much. You know, he's got some wins behind him that speak for themselves, and there is that respect. You know, he was one of the guys that came to me after I splattered my brains all over the ring for some soda that, you know, patted me on the back and was like, man, that's good, you know, way to give it your all. So there's that respect, but I think it's being kind of, you know, like when you go into a heavyweight fight, you respect the guy because, you know, if you mouth off and, you know, you're not doing your thing, you're going to get knocked out. And I think that goes for both of us. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, I think the respect's there because the fear's there. I mean, I'm not, you know, I know Matt Tremont's not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anything either. So I think it's just, it's respect out of if either of us slipped up during this match, it could be over quick. So I think that's where the mutual respect comes from. And I've watched that guy, and I've heard about that guy busting his ass for years. So how can you not respect that? You know what I mean? The guy's started at the bottom literally, so.
Yeah, definitely he came across the guardrail, as he likes to say. Matt Tremont is definitely one guy. He's undefeated, so this is a big match. Of course, you're undefeated too. Just your final thoughts, because I know you're very busy, so just your final thoughts on this match and why fans should come out and see Tremont Summers at On Point Wrestling.
Well, I mean, you know, let's talk, you know, Tremont, I mean, I'm sorry, Summers Dickinson. I mean, the fans that did see that, you know, they know. The fans that didn't see it and got to hear about it, you're going to learn. Matt Tremont is a complete absolute killer. He is right now, you know, the next in line to be the man in ultraviolet wrestling, in violent wrestling, whatever kind of wrestling you want to call it, death matching, mass wrestling. Like I said in the promo, okay, he is, you know, the most violent man in this business right now. But, you know, you're talking to the craziest person in this business. And everybody wants to play like they're crazy and act like they're crazy. I'm crazy 24/7. Doesn't matter if I'm at the grocery store. Doesn't matter if I'm at the gym. Doesn't matter if I'm a psychologist. I'm crazy 24/7. So that is just a recipe for danger and violence and fun. And why would you not want to see that on Saturday night at On Point when the undefeated beast, Matt Tremont, takes on the world's most craziest son of a bitch, Scott Summers? It's you've got to want to see it. It speaks for itself.
I certainly agree. Scott, thank you for joining us for this very brief time, but like I said, I know you're busy. You're getting ready to come out here to the East Coast, and I can't wait to personally see this match and call the match for On Point Wrestling.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm busy, man. I'm getting my meds lined up and getting my OKs that I can leave the state. So I will see you guys on Saturday, and everybody – come check out the violence and the fun and everything that's on point. Tremont, baby, it's me and you. Saturday, I know you're listening. I know you're going to be around. All them demons and all that anger and all that shit you got built up inside you. Hey, man, I told you. I got you. We're gonna exercise all the demons.
That's right. Scott, once again, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you on Saturday.
Way down this country road in the holler where they make that moonshine feel. There's an old man on the porch on a shack, and the shack is where he lives. Round the town they call him Paul. It's Paul from on the hill. And every time Paul does slay a hog, you can hear that hog.
Came from the belly of the Bible built. Them motherfuckers raised their daughter's son. Where you can't find no woman, no man, no cousin, no friend without a gun. Alabama, that is my home. But the trailer park has got my heart. Off in the hood, I'm at home when I play in the woods. After dark, you won't find me sober much. Always got a bottle of Jackie, yo. I take my sip, I talk my shit, and I fight anybody that wants to go. Tall and slim, walk with a limp, cause my nuts are oversized. Fuck your dope.
on your alcohol because your shit is overpriced. Hit the bootleg for 24 before I'm 21. Mathematics. Going to jail because I'm drunk and piggy wiggly. Yes, I'll be here and I'll do my time because I can't make bed. I'll minimum.
Jeez.
Well, if you weren't excited before, Dan.
I'm kind of scared to come now.
Now, of course, this is happening this Saturday, 7 o'clock is the bell time. 6 o'clock, doors open. It is On Point Wrestling Presents Throwdown. It's at the Sports and More, Dan. 1855 Herfill Road in Seoul, New Jersey. All tickets, $20. It's first come, first serve. Now, it's main evented by that very match. Matt Tremont taking on Scott Summers. Dan, your thoughts after hearing that?
You have two guys like Tremont and Summers that are on the top of their game and mentally on fire. I don't see how this match won't go out of control, whether it be a wrestling match or whatever happens, a fight. These guys are going to try to kill each other.
Certainly, Dan, and this is...
Oh, I'm excited!
The undefeated Matt Tremont, 4-0 in On Point Wrestling, taking on another undefeated man. He's only had one match in On Point Wrestling, but what a match it was. And that happens this Saturday. Make sure you're there at Sports and More. But Omega, it's time to move on. Are you quite ready, sir?
I am thoroughly prepared.
Taking place in London, England, at the O2 Arena. It was UFC on Fight Pass, and it was headlined by Alexander Gustafsson taking on Jimmy Manoa. And Omega, you already said it. What didn't you like about this fight?
Well, it wasn't really enough that I didn't like it. It really was pretty one-sided, though. Alexander Gustafsson controlled this fight from start to finish, using well-rounded grappling, well-rounded striking, and basically it looked like he could put this fight away at any time, but decided to ride it out a little bit, and I don't know if he was trying to put on a show or just didn't want to take too much of a risk, but he did thoroughly dominate round one on the ground by taking Manoa down. Manoa didn't seem to have any kind of answer off his back for Gustafsson. And then round two, Gustafsson comes in and starts really throwing some punches, landing some really, really good strikes, eventually knocking Manoa down and getting the TKO off a very sweet knee. It was a definitive statement for Gustafsson, making sure that he says that he is next in line for the light heavyweight title.
Do you think he deserves Jones after this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's anyone... any question to that. He deserves either one, Glover Teixeira or John Jones. He was close in that fight against John Jones. He lost previous to it. And
I thought he won it.
And I thought he won it. He is the clear number one in my book. I mean, if you think about the next step, you think about the top three in that light heavyweight division, you think of John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson, and Glover Teixeira. Absolutely any of those three deserve a title shot. Then you start thinking about Rashad Evans. He's hurt. Phil Davis. Daniel Cormier, maybe, but I'd rather see him get another fight against some decent competition at light heavyweight.
Well, John Jones said he should fight DC. Gustafsson, that is.
I don't know. I think Gustafsson needs to be the next title fight. I mean, there's no question in my mind that that's what should happen. You know, whoever loses between John Jones and Glover Teixeira should fight Daniel Cormier. That's my opinion.
There you go. I could certainly agree with your sentiment on that, but I'm just saying what Jones was reported as saying. Is he ducking? Does he not want to take on Gustafsson again?
Why are you ducking Alex, yo?
Exactly.
You know.
Did you see that?
He said,
don't be scared, homie. He was wearing a shirt today in a Instagram, and it said, don't be scared, homie. Nate Diaz, approves.
Yeah. No, I think this is I think he's scared. I mean, I don't know if he's scared is the right word, but I think Alexander Gustafsson worries John Jones. I think Gustafsson took him to the limit, and he barely pulled out that win. I don't think he wants anything to do with Alexander Gustafsson for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Now, moving on. Now, the official time of this was a TKO, second round, 1 minute 18 seconds into that second round. Now, the co-main event, Michael Johnson, Melvin Gillard, looks like another one-sided unanimous decision, 30-27 by two judges and 29-28 by the third judge. What did you think of that one?
Unlike the main event, this was just underwhelming. The Melvin Gillard, who doesn't have it in him, showed up, as opposed to the young assassin. It was kind of a boring fight, quite frankly. There was really no question in my mind that Johnson won the fight. Gillard looked like he was waiting for that one-shot counter the whole time, and Johnson wasn't giving it to him. Johnson was not allowing Gillard to get an angle or to land that one shot that would put Johnson out. And Gillard didn't change his game plan. He had to know. I mean, it's questionable whether or not he was down around in round three. He might have won the first round. And then Johnson won the second, but based on the judging, you know, he 30-27 for Johnson. I mean, I got to think that he should have had, at least in the back of his mind, that he needed to knock out Johnson in the third round. He just couldn't seem to find it. And in the end, Johnson kind of outpointed him for the entire fight. So it just wasn't that exciting. And this wasn't the Michael Johnson that was advertised in the last two fights. So, I have a hard time saying Michael Johnson gets elevated by this because he didn't put on a very impressive performance.
Now, moving on, we had Brad Pickett taking on Neil Seary, and this was another decision, 30-27, two judges, and another 29-28. Pickett soared in the rankings. He was unranked. Now he's number 11 in the flyweights. What do you have to say about that one? Was it a convincing fight for Pickett?
It was a convincing fight for Pickett, but it was also a scrap. Siri was there to fight, and he did land some good shots. He was not out of this fight the whole time. This was one of those fights where the small guys keep the pace high, landing shots. It was a very entertaining fight the whole way. I think Pickett was obviously the better fighter. Neil Siri just was a bit overwhelmed making his UFC debut. Taking on a guy like Brad Pickett, that's a tall order for anyone. Kudos to him for hanging in as long as he did and not getting knocked out or submitted. He looked good. He looked good though. He looked like he has at least can hang with these guys. But I don't think that the decision was any in doubt. Anything good win for Pickett. Good fight overall.
Now Gunnar Nelson also defeated Omari Akhmedov. Hey, I got it.
There you go.
Yes, I'm working on it, Omega. Professionalism. HIAC. Underwhelming, yet decisive. Now, he won by submission, a guillotine choke. First round, 4 minutes, 36 seconds in. Gunnar Nelson, still unranked, however, in the official UFC rankings. What do you have to say about Gunnar Nelson?
I'm surprised he's still unranked, because at welterweight, he looked dominant. I mean, he looked. I mean, I mentioned it last week. He's been out of action for about a year. But before that, I was really watching him as a potential prospect at welterweight coming down the line. And this fight was just solidified that for me. He's got all the well-rounded skills to be a contender. I'd like to see what he'll get if he gets some more competition. He deserves a step up because that was a dominating win, a very, very slick guillotine. This is a guy that can take a guy down and just keep him there. He just presses on a guy so hard, gives him very little space to work. And then when Akhmedov eventually explodes to his feet, Nelson just grabbed the guillotine and put him out. A very, very good submission win. I'm really excited to see Gunnar Nelson. It is a crime that he's not ranked right now.
Now let's talk about this preliminary card. It looks like it was very exciting. A lot of finishes in it. Three finishes and two decisions. Now, I'm just looking at the results here, and it says Ninja Choke was one of the ways. Now, what is a Ninja Choke for those at home that might not know, and for myself?
Which one is that thing?
That's Latifi, or?
Latifi, okay, I guess they're calling it a Ninja Choke, whatever. I've seen it called a power guillotine. It was, think about a guillotine where you twist the head as well. It's almost a combo guillotine neck crank.
Wow.
It was deep. It looked like it hurt all kinds of ways. It was amazing that Diabati didn't submit when he did. Because
how long did he keep it on?
Couple, 30, 45 seconds.
Wow.
It was tight. It was all kinds of nasty. Latifi is just a strong guy. He's like he's one of those guys those stocky guys that he looks like he just has all the power, and he grabbed that guillotine and he cranked it for what it was worth, man. It was brutal.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to talk about on
Diabati actually, the side note to that is Diabati actually retired after that fight.
So, I guess he didn't want to have to put up with that again.
Probably not. Luke Barnett had a very good TKO finish. In round one, a pretty nasty knee that crumpled his opponent. And then I thought Louis Gadineau in his preliminary fight really needed to win. I said last week he got it, and he got it pretty good. His opponent Harris dove in for a single, or for a double, I should say, and he kind of grabbed a hold of the head, didn't get the guillotine for a while, and then when Harris tried to stand up, he jumped into it and climbed up the front of him, grabbed the guillotine, and got the submission. I thought it was a very impressive win for Gadineau, who really needed a impressive performance. So good for him. The other two fights were forgettable decisions.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you for that. We're going to move on, Omega, to a card that very well could be the card so far this year. After some disappointing cards, I think, this year with a lot of decisions, that sort of thing, we have some fireworks finally in a main event. We're, of course, talking about UFC 171. It takes place Dallas, Texas, at the American Airlines Center. Now, main event, waterweight title. GSP gave up the title, forfeited it, whatever you want to say, stripped of it, whoever, whatever. He is taking on... Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler, they're going to crown the new welterweight champion after years of GSP. And we're going to see something else, I think. I think this is really going to be a... What's your thoughts on it?
Look, if you want to pick a fight that is unlikely to go to decision, in my opinion, this is the fight you make. Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler both have extreme power in their hands. And I think they're going to want to try to land on each other and try to knock each other out. And I think that's exactly what we're going to get. You think about Hendricks, you think about the bricks he's got in his hands, the ability to knock guys out. He, with the exception of GSP, he's really the only one that's really kind of shrugged off Hendricks' power. Lawler has some spectacular TKOs as well. The difference being in this one, I think that Hendricks is the better overall fighter. He is
sure.
Certainly a double. He's an NCAA champion wrestler. He's going to have the advantage on the wrestling. Lawler doesn't like wrestlers. He has never been done really well against strong wrestlers. So he's going to want to keep it on the feet. Now Lawler's takedown defense has looked good since he's come back to the UFC. So that's at least a feather in his cap. Is he going to be able to take someone against the likes of Johnny Hendricks? I doubt it. But I'm not certain that Hendricks really wants to go to the ground in this fight. I think he wants to make a statement. I think he wants to win the title in spectacular fashion. And I think Robbie will at least give him that, because Robbie's not going to want to go to the ground. So it's an interesting fight. I think there could be fireworks. It could be over fast. And I think if I'm looking at it, I think I'm taking Big Rig to be your new UFC welterweight champion by KO in round one.
Round one.
It's not going to go long. I really don't think it's going to. I don't really think so either. See this going five rounds.
Oh, no, no. I don't think that. But then again, we said that with Mark Hunt and Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
However.
I mean, Lawler's got a chin. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But Hendricks has power.
But again, so does Lawler. I got to go with Lawler TKO in round two. Simply because I like the underdog story.
There you go.
I realize Hendricks is a better fighter. I realize that he, by most accounts, defeated GSP. So he should already be the champion.
Yep, I agree.
I realize all this. However, I do the rise of Robbie Lawler since coming back to UFC, and even in Strikeforce he had a resurgence of sorts. I can't wait. I just like his fighting style. He's very exciting. He defeated that other guy, the guy who had a lot of hype, GSP's buddy.
Rory McDonald.
Yes. So I think he can, if he has somewhat of that strategy, it really depends what his game plan is. If he's going to go out there swinging bombs or if he's going to go out there trying to wrestle. Either way, I think he can win either way, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think depending, you could see Hendricks try to trade and then Lawler tag him with some shots and Hendricks decides that he doesn't want to play that game and then he goes to the ground. Completely possible. I just think Hendricks has fallen in love with his striking and, he's probably going to want to keep it standing for at least a while.
Definitely there. Now we have a title eliminator in the next one. And when you talk about quick rises in the UFC, you have Tyrone Woodley, a guy who was very boring. I was on this program many a time saying how boring this guy was, Tyrone Woodley. Well, he's in a title eliminator now, and he's had some fantastic finishes. The most recent was, of course, Josh Koscheck, and I think Koscheck is still recovering. Carlos Condit, he's been to the dance before, didn't quite get the job done. What do you got to say about this one?
I like this fight, and I'm really disappointed that we didn't get the original fight, which was Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. I thought that would have been a violence lover's delight. I think that would have been awesome. With Tyron Woodley, you get a power puncher, but you also get the potential guy who's going to lay and prey on you like we saw in Strikeforce. This one is kind of interesting in that Condit, if you think back to the GSP fight, you think about a wrestler imposing his will on Condit, I think that's a concern for his camp. I think Woodley presents that type of wrestling that could give Condit problems. That being said, I think Condit, with his overall skill, his ability to move and his conditioning, he's probably going to be, again, the better fighter, have more tools. He's just really got to be able to keep Woodley at bay and stay off his back. If he does that, he can certainly outpoint Woodley, maybe even TKO him. If I'm picking, I'm still not convinced about Woodley. Knockouts are one thing. I think his knockout of Josh Koscheck was certainly spectacular, but it doesn't prove to me right now what he can do up against the elite of the division. I am going to pick Condit in this one. I think it's going to go to decision, but I think he's got a chance to knock it out. But I think Condit's just a better fighter, more experienced, just going to, in the UFC, had been to the big dance before. I think he's going to keep it.
I'm going with the underdog again. Tyrone Woodley, he has really impressed me of late. And this is me, the guy who really ripped him when he was in Strikeforce and laid and prayed. I'm going with Woodley, first round, KO.
That's an interesting pick.
He's got power, man. He's got power for days.
He does, absolutely. Absolutely does. I agree.
Now, another one that I have my eye on, simply because he's one of my favorite fighters, is Diego Sanchez, who was arguably in the fight of the year last year against Gilbert Melendez. He's taken on Miles Jury. Jury, I got to be honest, I don't know much about the guy.
You don't. Maybe may not know much about him, but he is certainly on a roll. He is 13-0 in his professional career. He is 4-0 in the UFC. He's not had anyone who's been able to solve him yet. That being said, he is at this point going up, getting a very much a step up in competition. He's He fought Michael Johnson and beat Michael Johnson last year before Michael Johnson really began his resurgence. Ramzi Najem is kind of a middling fighter, wins by TKO. Ricci is, you know, a split decision, but from Mike Ricci, that's it's a win. It was kind of a boring affair. But Diego Sanchez, we know exactly what we're going to get when the Dream shows up. He's going to just come out all zombie, and he's just going to strike, and he's just going to keep coming. You can't stop him. He is a guy who, yes, he has lost in the past, and he lost versus Gilbert Melendez. There's no shame in that. Again, fight of the year, quite possible. Diego does fairly well against middling competition. He's still a very, very good fighter. Whether he's over the hill or not at 32, hard to say. I don't see him being a title contender anytime soon, or if ever again. But he's certainly not going to be easily pushed around. With Jury, I just don't see him facing the kind of talent that Diego Sanchez has and being able to overcome the sheer will of Diego Sanchez in this fight. I think it's really going to go Sanchez's way. He's going to pick up a win and probably try to gain some momentum, maybe move back up and pick up another top-level fighter for another exciting fight. I'm picking Diego Sanchez by decision.
I think I'm going to go there as well. I think Diego does have a lot to prove, and we're going to agree completely on this one, Diego by decision. If you want to get technical, I'll say 29-28.
Sure. I think it's actually going to be 30-27, but that's okay.
Now, moving right along, we have Jake Shields,
everyone's favorites.
One of my least favorite fighters. Haven't liked the guy since he fought Dan Hendo Henderson. Now, I didn't like him before then, but Jake Shields taking on Hector Lombard. I hope Lombard can just put him to sleep. What do you think?
I do too. The fan in me says that's certainly a possibility with Hector Lombard. A guy with that kind of power should be knocking guys out. That being said, Shields just finds ways to stifle people. Just finds ways to grind out victories, and they're boring as hell, but they're effective. He beat Tyron Woodley. He beat Damian Maya, a guy who's good on the ground. He's got that kind of wrestling. He can really keep you down and just wear you out. Why he can't finish anybody, I don't know. But he really just doesn't have that kind of – he doesn't have the power ground, pound you out. He hasn't submitted a guy since Robbie Lawler back in 2009. So this is a guy who just doesn't finish fights anymore. And as the talent increases and people get wise to the wrestling, it's not going to get any easier.
Mm-hmm.
Lombard has had a very up and down USC career at 2-2. Came in with a lot of hype and just not performed. It's somewhat unfortunate for Lombard, who came in with a lot of hype and really just hasn't done much. Coming off a win versus Nate Marquardt, though, this is not the Nate Marquardt of old, obviously, so that's unfortunate. My heart really wants Lombard to knock out Jake Shields, but in the end, I think Jake Shields has just too much wrestling, just too much stifling ability to get guys down and just able to keep them there, tie them up, and just drag it all the way for 15 minutes. I think And I don't want it, but I think Shields wins by decision. Again.
Unfortunately, I have to go the same way. The fan in me, like you said, I want to see a first-round knockout. But the analyst in me says Jake Shields by decision, 30-27.
Yep.
Moving right along, a guy I've had my eye on for quite some time. I do enjoy his style. It's kind of a wrestling-based style. One of the few I like with that base. It's Ovince St. Preux, not Peru, Preux, OSP for short, taking on Nikita Krylov. Now, the Russian Nightmare, what do you have to say about him?
He's not looked good since he came to UFC. He did He did knock out Walt Harris in his last outing. But before that, his fight against Soa Pelele was horrible. Horrible fight. You look at his record, you say, okay, he's fought a whole lot of nobodies, but does that mean he's not capable of beating OSP? No, not necessarily. But that being said, OSP really has some good skills and some good talent, some good athleticism. And as you said, he has looked very good against guys in Strikeforce. He's a guy that you can say in his last 12 dozen fights, he's only lost to Gegard Mousasi. That's quite respectable. You look at this fight and you say, well, I'm looking at a better athlete versus a guy who has not impressed thus far. I'm picking OSP in this one by, let's call it TKO in round two.
I'm going to go with him as well, but by decision. By decision. A grinding affair, if you will.
Sure.
Now, the preliminary card, there's a few interesting ones. This will unfortunately be on Fox Sports 2, my sources reveal to me. I don't know why, probably some type of basketball or NASCAR or some nonsense.
I'm sure it's basketball.
Is preempting the affair, however, which means I won't be able to see the preliminaries, but Rick Story's on it, but I have my eyes on YouTube for once this fight ends. It's Raquel Pennington taking on Jessica Andrade. Now, your thoughts on that one?
This is an interesting fight for Raquel Pennington, who, coming off her win versus Roxanne Modafferi at the Ultimate Fighter finale. This is a girl who has been in the top of the women's rankings for quite a while. She's come off a few losses. Didn't have a good showing on the Ultimate Fighter. It's debatable whether or not her win versus Roxanne actually gains her any real standing in the division. Looking at her rankings, she's ranked 13 in the women's bantamweight right now. So there's a lot of girls ahead of her. Needs a definitive win to really reestablish herself as a contender. Going up against Jessica Andrade, who middling talent, I would say. She's definitely got some skills because she did win versus Rosie Sexton, so that was good. But she did get overwhelmed pretty handily by Liz Carmouche. It's I like this fight. I mean, I like any more women's fights the better. I think Raquel Pennington is in good position with this fight to pick up a strong win. And I think, I think she's going to pick up the decision victory.
Okay. Anything else on the undercard? I know Sean Spencer is fighting, and on the UFC Fight Pass card, there Will Campuzano from Legacy is also fighting. Anything else you see that catches your eye, maybe we should look forward to?
I think you want to keep an eye on the Dennis Bermudez fight. It's a crime that he's still on the preliminary card. This is a guy who really has great wrestling. He's just a good fighter all the way. And he's really needs to be a contender at he's fought for the featherweight title before. I think I like his fights. Every fight I like with him is really good. It's really coming off 5 wins. I think he's going to pick up another win here versus his opponent, which is Hedis. Is that what his name is? I lost my page here. Hedis, yeah.
Yes.
I think he's got the skills to keep moving up the rankings here. I think he's going to pick up a decision victory here. But other than that, I think there's, like I said, Campuzano. I mean, I'm curious just because we're semi-legacy fans on this podcast, but he's 0-3 in the UFC. He's getting a fight basically because he took short notice on the last one. I think this is he needs a win too. So we'll see.
Definitely. It looks like a great card, though, at least the main card.
The entire main card is stacked with good guys. There's certainly those three fights we talked about on the prelims. I think those are good. I mean, there's really... Now, this is one of the stronger cards of the year, certainly.
Definitely. And, of course, the next time we talk is UFC Fight Night. As we look a little farther ahead, that's coming up March 23rd, so we have a we have a little bit of time to soak all this in, but it's going to be Shogun Hua taking on Dan Anderson.
Some guy.
The rematch. The rematch, Omega. Anderson admittedly has not looked too good in his past couple of fights. Well, especially his last one against the TRT-driven Vitor Belfort.
He didn't duck.
No, he didn't. He didn't duck him, and he didn't duck that. Well, actually, he ducked right into a knee and a head kick, actually. Actually, a head kick, not a knee. But he is 0-3 in his last three fights, so he really has to start turning things around, and it could start here. But then again, look at the names he's fought. He's fought some pretty amazing names. His last five, Fedor. Hua with a win, so he's 2-3 in his last five, and his last three, Machida, Evans, and Belfort. Belfort, he looked tremendously bad. So hopefully he can turn things around. If not, but he did sign a new deal, so it's not like he's out of the UFC after this. They could cut him, but I think they're just going to keep him around for
notable fights. They'll keep him around.
Notable
he's fighting name fighters.
Yeah.
And so is Hua in a lot of ways. So, I mean, these are both guys in very similar situations. Not really close to sniffing a title shot anytime soon, but still very marketable, very names that fans know and like to see. So they certainly have a place in the UFC going forward for as long as they want to keep fighting.
That's very true. Now, they are both ranked. They're ranked 7 and 8 in the light heavyweight division. I'm not sure if that means that it's a very... very light division, or perhaps the rankings are a little off.
Well, it's a thin division because, I mean,
well, yeah,
Chael Sonnen is number 9 at light heavyweight. I mean, come on.
Not only that, we have the very formidable Phil Davis at number 4.
Yeah,
not a
there's
fan.
There's a very significant drop off in these rankings right now.
Yeah, yeah. You would think with all the talent and the fact that they have international talent at this point, you would think that there would be a lot more going on. But now it's time to turn our attention away from UFC, and it's time to talk to the man who will be. Dan, I hope you're ready for this.
I'm here, brother.
Okay, because...
get it?
It's time to discuss On Point Wrestling again. And, of course, our guest right now is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Now, we heard from Scott Summers a little bit earlier on, very briefly. This is a matter of respect. Scott Summers knows that there is a big dog in that yard, and his name is Tremont. So it's not animosity that you saw with Dickinson. This is a matter of respect and a matter that they both have to face each other to see who is better and who the big dog is at On Point Wrestling. Dan, your thoughts, and then we'll get right to Matt Tremont.
There's not much more I could say than I said before, and you put it perfectly. It's about respect. These guys are going to do what they can to take this win. And Matt, they're both undefeated in the company, even though one was just a one-off. It's going to be an incredibly competitive and amazing match, fight, whatever it turns into, it's going to be amazing.
It's not going to be a match, Dan. It's going to be a fight.
It's going to be a fight, brother.
Bulldozer Matt Tremont. Matt, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Dean, Dan, good to be back on. What's going on, fellas?
Long time no see, Bulldozer.
Long time.
Yeah.
First time, long time. Now, I do want to start out, of course, with On Point Wrestling. It is this Saturday. You are, well, you might not be, according to Loudy, he was on What's Wrong with Wrestling, but you may be in the main event against Scott Summers. It's a big match. What do you have to say about Scott Summers?
I wasn't able to hear what he said earlier, Dean. Would you be able to brief me on what Mr. Summers was able to say when he was on earlier?
It's more or less a matter of respect between you
gotcha.
Two. He respects you. He respects what you've done. You've made a lot of noise and on point, and now he has something to prove.
I would agree with his sentiment. Definitely a mutual respect between the two. I've seen what he's been able to do live on two separate occasions for two separate promotions, and both times he's come to the Northeast, he's represented himself well and brought his A-game, whether it was for Combat Zone Wrestling or On Point Wrestling. And the last time he was here was in September against one of the top dogs in the game right now, against Chris Dickinson, and they went to war. And I was sitting there watching that match live, as I would like to say, and I think you'd like when I say it, salivating at the fingertips, because the match was so intense and violent and raw and real that I was hoping that some promotion would book it one day, and On Point happened to be that company. And this Saturday night at Sports & More in Sewell, New Jersey, Scott Summers is going to come down all the way here from Texas. I'm going to make the drive up through 42 to Sewell, and me and him are going to collide, apparently in the main event, and we're going to throw down, as the card says, and I wouldn't expect anything else. Summers versus Tremont, I think, says enough right there. It's going to be a hard-hitting war, and definitely the respect between one another, and we are going to go in there and have these fans emotionally invested in an experience and in a match. Hopefully they will get their money's worth and go home talking about.
Hi, Matt. How you doing, by the way?
What's going on, Dan?
You had a promo the other couple weeks ago. It was one of the best promos I've ever seen recently.
Thank you.
And you have a lot of emotions going through your head right now. Do you think that might be impeding, or do you think you can use that to help you going into this match?
I definitely will use it as it was the flame to light the torch that hasn't been lit in a long time, and some personal grievances I've been dealing with kind of woke me up and found some motivation where it was lacking for the last 6 to 8 months because of personal things and professional. So the last couple of weeks, I've been the motivation is back, and it all comes full circle on Saturday. I think this is one of my biggest matches in some time, and definitely one of my hardest matches coming up this weekend because Summers is a testament of what a good worker is, a storyteller, and just one real raw and tough guy. So I know I have a hell of a task in front of me. But like I said, I'm motivated, so I'm looking forward to the task at hand this weekend.
Now, you're 4-0 right now. Do you let the streak get to your head, or is that even a number that doesn't matter to you at this point?
At this point, I mean, wins and losses are wins and losses. Nothing's on the line except respect between each other. And I just want to go there and show him, that he's going to get the 110% A-game bulldozer, and I would expect the same out of him, But so the stake is a mutual respect when we go in there. But then once the bell rings, then that's when the war begins, and that respect goes out the window, and as we prepare to throw down and beat the ever-living piss out of each other.
Now, looking at your opponents that you've had in On Point Wrestling, of course, you've had Homicide, you've had Joey Janela, you've had a ton more, you've had Eddie Kingston, for God's sakes. Is Scott Summers your toughest test yet?
100%. I think Summers is in the prime of his career, great physical shape, tough as nails. He can take just as much as punishment or more than I do. And so 100%, it is my toughest test to date in On Point Wrestling throughout the four previous encounters I have had. In those wins, I've learned some. I've bettered myself in those victories, and because I've worked some tremendous guys in the business, Eddie Kingston, the name one, Jocka, Joey Janela, and Homicide. two veterans, two up-and-coming guys. Four matches altogether where I bettered myself and became a better worker in the meantime. But 100%, Scott Summers is the toughest test, not just an on-point, but probably toughest test to date in my career thus far. And it's a good early point in a brand new year to test myself and see how the rest of 2014 is going to go.
Hey Matt, I have a general question about on point. I hope you can answer for me. I asked another gentleman a similar question. We interviewed you a couple times leading up to January's show, and the feeling was one of real excitement and nervousness. And now that you got January out of the way, how do you mentally feel about On Point, and what are the next steps for the company?
It's still a young company. This Saturday is the promotion's sixth show in its young history, and you know, you have your up and downs in putting together a company and trying to keep the vision intact, and sometimes there's some holes in the game plan, but I mean, as far as everything goes right now, you know, March 15th is you know, full fail, you know, coming up, and it's going to be an interesting night. Definitely, I think this weekend will definitely set the tone for a future for On Point Wrestling. I hope positively, you know, positive or negative, as a promotion as a whole. I mean, I think a lot of people knew as far as behind the scenes and helping On Point Wrestling, I stepped away out of that capacity, and I really don't help much out anymore due to personal things outside of the business and discrepancies within the company that I had differences with. But all in all, I've just always wanted to help the company grow, but at the same time, I have to help myself grow and better myself in real life and in the business of professional wrestling. But as far as the promotion, I hope nothing but for success on Saturday, and the company can continue to grow and move forward. I know they just announced an April show, so but you know, to get to an April show, you got to get through Throwdown, and hopefully this entire company will, you know, band together and all throw down together on Saturday to make it a success and get to the April show.
Oh, sorry about that, Matt. I'm not privy to a lot of things, so that's why I asked. I do have a follow-up question about your career, though. You've had a couple of matches starting last year where you were stepping away. Obviously, we talked about this briefly, about the death match and the violent stuff, and you were wrestling.
Yeah.
How do you feel after a couple matches, and how do you feel about your wrestling abilities now as opposed to a couple months ago?
I would definitely think, you know, after every match, you gain some sort of experience and learn more and gain more. I was just at IWA Mid-South this weekend at a packed house in Clarksville, Indiana on a Sunday in the Midwest, and I had a tremendous time, always do for IWA, and working for Ian Rotten, and had an old-school Texas barbed wire bull rope match, and it went really, really good, and I was very happy with my performance, very happy with my performance of my opponent, and we really brought it, and I was, you know, outside of my usual home company, CZW, elsewhere, is usually when I'm, you know, given the ball and that I can run with and have an opportunity to really, you know, accentuate my positives and, you know, put on a good performance, usually elsewhere. You know, it doesn't happen often at my home company, but, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But I'm continuing to grow, trying to get better, always trying to learn my craft and, you know, just trying to entertain and make sure that people get their money's worth. And that's what it's all about. It's a business of entertainment and a business about making money. And if I'm making money and I'm entertaining the people, that's all that matters.
Amen. Amen.
Hell
now,
yeah.
Talk about business. You have started a new business venture, of course, Double Stomp Video. A lot of buzz from workers, a lot of buzz coming through. I'm getting hit up. People want shoot videos done. We have two in the books right now. We have Xavier Cross, of course. We have Stan the Man Styles. We have Chrissy Rivera booked. We have LJ Cruz. I probably should have said that, but let's talk. But let's talk about Double Stomp Video here, because Double Stomp Video is a really unique thing, I believe, for the workers in the business. Let's talk. Just describe what Double Stomp Video gives to the worker.
I think basically, Dean, like we've talked, I think it's a venture I wanted to venture into that's wrestling involved, wrestling related, that not only can I make a few bucks doing it, but I can provide a service and an outlet for guys on the independent level that may not have the opportunity to do a shoot interview or have a best of compilation made through a RF video or a Smart Mark video, who are the two top distributors when it comes to that stuff at this level in the business. And I wanted to venture into something, Double Stomp Video, to provide them an outlet to get these things done. Because after you build your brand and you have a diehard support following of your character, you know, they go to the shows, they support you, they invest into you and your character. And, you know, it's all about making money in this business. And part of that making money is branding yourself. And once that brand is built, merchandising is that next step. Getting 8x10s, posters, DVDs, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like we are going to, you know, by the worker, for the worker. We'll come to you slowly. We've been, it's a brand new venture. It's not even 2 weeks old yet. And like you said, we have two shoots under our belt, and we already have 2 to 3 or 4 more lined up in the next coming weeks. But basically, it's also an outlet for guys, like I said, that might not have that opportunity to tell their story. It's nothing against them or where they're at in their careers if they haven't worked, you know, top wrestling promotions. It does, you know, because everybody still has a story. People have been around the business. They've had road trips. They've had positive and negative experiences, and people want to hear their story. And, you know, those people still have a following, whether they're not working for the top companies. People still want to hear, you know, where did they get their start? They want to hear their story. So we're going to give them that outlet for a flat price package of about $100, 10 DVDs, 10 posters, 10 8x10s. We're going to hand you a finished product when it's all said and done. Take it to your table at your show, sell your gimmicks, make your money back, and hopefully double it. I put a couple bucks in my pocket that cover the cost, cover the production, pay my guys, excuse me, and you'll be able to make money yourself, continue to build your brand, have merchandise to put money in your own pocket to continue to build yourself up. And, you know, that's what this business is all about. It's about making money, building your brand, and, you know, venturing into new places, meeting new fans, giving the fans an outlet to see more about you. And that's what pretty much Double Stomp Video is. Shoots, best ofs, anything we can accommodate, anything as far as merchandising goes. You know, shirts will be, you know, on the way, hopefully. But right now, so far, still good for a good start.
Yes, definitely. One thing that I think a very key factor is everybody has a story to tell. And Double Stomp Video is that outlet for these people. So that's an amazing thing. Now, another thing, we'll get back into Double Stomp in a second. Another thing I wanted to bring up is Tremont's Truth. Now, it started out as On the Road, but we have changed it to Tremont's Truth. We have a documentary. We have had a sit-down with you. We have done some principal photography. We are going to do more of a taping coming up at On Point Wrestling. Just your thoughts this early in, because it's only been a couple of shoots at this point, but your thoughts early in on Tremont's Truth.
It's a just like I said earlier, it's another venture that is wrestling related. You guys approached me with it, the Moose Knuckle, and Don, yourself, and Justin, and it's something I was you guys approached me with early on, and then after thinking about it and seeing the potential of it and where it could go and the opportunities for you guys and myself. I was all aboard, and I've done shoots and stuff like that, but this one's a little bit more real, a little bit more personal, in-depth, you know, documentary look at, you know, my life in and outside of the ring. And it's a fun project. I'm happy to be aboard on, and the possibilities are endless of, you know, what it could do for everybody. And once it's all complete, and you know, I think it's going to be something worthy of checking out. I'm a documentary buff myself, and you know, Barbed Wire City, and, you know, all those, you know, wrestling-related documentaries, but not even just as a wrestling-related documentary, just a documentary in general about, you know, the life of me, for example, in and out of the ring, up and down the road. You know, what's Matt Tremont doing on a Tuesday afternoon? You know, you'll find out. it should be interesting, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy to be a part of it, and, you know, happy to help out whenever, you know, with whatever I can, and yeah, it should be fun.
Definitely. Now, getting back to Double Stamp Video, one thing you told me, I don't know if you want to go into more detail about this, but you were talking with Rob Feinstein, and he gave you like a seal of approval. He has no bones about it. Just go into that conversation that you had with Rob Feinstein.
That's just me trying to, you know, I try to be as genuine, you know, as possible with people, and obviously, as far as RF Video and SmartMark Video are concerned, you know, they're the two top dogs in the shoot interview world and DVDs and wrestling, you know, I'm new to the venture, you know, I'm trying to, you know, build a reputation and respect with, you know, my peers and this business venture. And I was talking to Rob about it and, you know, wanted his blessing. You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. You know, we're all trying to make money at the end of the day. And he thought the concept was, you know, good. And if you can make money at doing it, you know, more power to you. So that was getting that seal approval from Rob, who's been doing it for a long time, knows his stuff, and has made a lot of money doing it, made me feel better about the whole venture going into it itself.
Definitely, because that was one thing that kind of worried me. I didn't communicate that to you, but I was like, this is something that other people do, and they might be concerned with it. So when you told me that, I was like, this is a sigh of relief, so to say. Now,
definitely.
I'm going to get a little bit back into your career. You're very busy, starting with On Point Wrestling. You got a lot of shows coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of them.
On Point this weekend, the following weekend, Sunday, March 23rd, I will use the venture word again and venture out to Providence, Rhode Island, and make my Live Beyond debut in a tag team match. I'm stepping into a story between three other men that is very personal, family-related, and I will be coming in to lend my hand to Anthony Stone within this this program and take on Mike Quest and Nicholas Kay in a what's billed to be a very violent and brutal hardcore tag team match at the FET Music venue in Providence, Rhode Island. The following weekend, actually, we'll be helping out a band called Eat the Turnbuckle. They have a show in Philadelphia, and the Bulldozer will most likely be making an appearance then. It should be fun and interesting, something different. They're a band, you know, wrestling related band. Big fans of the business. They are fans of myself. I'm fans of them, so I'm glad I can go out there and help them out. But I mean, I'm trying to keep busy, Dean. You know, you gotta try to make money, trying to survive, trying to continue to build my name and build a brand that, you know, I've been able to build with all the opportunities different companies and promoters have given me over the last couple of years. And now I'm able to take all that and kind of steer the bus myself now of where I want to go, what I want to do, and different ventures I want to, you know, get myself into. And I'm trying to keep busy, trying to keep relevant, which is, definitely a constant you want to do in this business because they'll forget about you real quick. So I'm just trying to keep busy, try to put a couple bucks in my pocket to, take care of myself and my old lady.
definitely there. Now, what was that? Eat the Turnbuckle, that's in Philly. What day is that?
I believe I'm not sure on the exact date, either March 29th or March 30th. I believe the venue is called Kung Fu Necktie, somewhere in Philadelphia. They're playing a set with a bunch of other, I guess, death metal genre-type bands. And I should be making an appearance, so that should be fun, something different.
Yeah, definitely. Keep me posted on that, because I think that's a very interesting thing to perhaps get for Tremont's Truth.
100%?
Yeah,
100%.
Definitely there. Now, one other thing, I did want to bring up the fact that we will be taking a road trip, all of us together. Of course, I'm talking about everybody here. I'm talking about Loudy. I'm talking about Drew Blood. I'm talking about Don Warren, of all people.
Woo-hoo,
I'm talking about, a bunch of us getting together. We're going out to Vicious Outcast Wrestling. Talk about that for a second, Vicious Outcast Wrestling.
They seem to be another, you know, upstart company that's about a year or so into the company's, overall history of running shows. Right outside of Pittsburgh, I think they've been running about a year or so now. Myself, like you said, the Hugh and Oz Tyler will be making we'll all be making our debuts for Vicious Outcast Wrestling on Saturday, April 5th. They have a stacked show out there with a lot of great talent, And we'll all be making our way down there, shooting the documentary, behind-the-scenes stuff. And I'll be going down there to have a good old Pittsburgh brawl with a man named Viper. The HEW have a tag team title match against their champions. Oz Tyler will be on the card. You know, the family sticks together. We'll all be going down there to, you know, represent ourselves and try to put on the best product in the ring we can and impress the officials at VOW in the end, and hopefully return and keep doing repeat business and all making money.
Yeah, definitely. Making money, it is a business. You got it, man. That's all I got to say about that. But one thing I do want to say about Vicious Outcast Wrestling, I did write to the owner, Bill Molnar, and he was very gracious, very accommodating. So I do want to put that out there for everybody. Great company, great people to work for, and I can't wait for that weekend. Of course, it's WrestleMania weekend, so we got to make our way back.
100%. A lot of people paid 60. People invested a lot of money in that network, but I know they're going to want to get back and watch Mania. So
That's right. Now, Dan, take it away.
Matt, I just had one question, and I came up with listening to you. I mean, you have the documentary, you got Double Stomp, and you have this very, very busy wrestling career. Are you content? Is there more you want to get your hands on? How do you feel about all that?
I would say I had a revelation towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, where I'm at in my career, where I'm at, you know, ability-wise and what I can do and what I've been able to do in the last couple of years. I'm very, very content with, you know, with just keeping busy, because, you know, if I was wrestling once a month and not, you know, being able to make money or keep busy, it would definitely eat at me, when the night would come. But I've been able to, you know, keep busy and put my foot in the door in a lot of different things to be able to build towards the future. Basically, I just enjoy being around the business and being involved in something that is wrestling related, whether it's working in the ring, doing Double Stomp video, a documentary, so on and so forth. If I can make a couple bucks doing it, be around something I enjoy, I'm very happy with it. If there's still any career, I mean, I'm going to continue to do what I do in the ring, continue to entertain, give the people their money's worth, still have goals in mind. Japan is definitely a place I want to go and use the venture word again and venture to and experience the whole Japan thing. But now I'm very happy with what I'm able to, you know, accomplishing right now on my own. I had a lot of help along the way, and I learned, and I was a sponge, and now I'm going to apply with what I learned into all these different crafts, and I'm going to try to apply them the best I can, and I'm very, very content right now, very happy to keep busy and do things on my own and accomplish them, and to show people that, Matt Tremont can, the quiet, humble kid, can venture into different things and do a lot of things on his own and be successful no matter what it is, because I feel like at a young age, I've learned a lot, but I think, I definitely have the smarts to do it, and I'm happy to keep busy.
Well, sir, knowing you the little I do, and I think you're one of the more entertaining and better wrestlers, wherever you go, I hope all of this turns out for the best for you, and I hope to see you kick some ass on Saturday, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. Just, it's all about having fun and making some money.
Hell yeah. Yeah, money's nice.
Now, Matt, wrap it all up for me in a nice little package. Where can people find you and all these various ventures that you are a part of?
The now 2,033 Twitter followers that I have, you can follow me and continue to follow me at TremontCZW. That's a whole other thing I could probably talk about, Dean. Social media is important. Use it as a tool for promotion, not for BS of what you're eating on the couch on a Thursday night. Nobody gives a fuck. Promote yourself. Use it as a promotional tool. No one cares. I'll say my piece. But as far as this Saturday night, I'm returning to the ring, On Point Wrestling, continue to build that brand, build myself. Scott Summers is coming all the way from goddamn Texas. We're going to throw down. We're going to entertain, give the people their money's worth. Double Stomp Video is a shoot and review set up next week with Chrissy Rivera. We're keeping busy. We're making money. We're having fun. keeping busy.
That's right. And, of course, search for Tremont's Truth on Facebook.
Yes,
just
sir.
Type it in, Tremont's Truth. It's right there. Give it a like. A lot of more updates coming very, very soon. Matt, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, let's not keep it. Let's talk a lot sooner next time, because I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been weeks. It's been weeks, Dean.
Yeah, first time, long time.
First time, long time, Matt, but thank you again for your time, and you have a great night.
Hey, take it easy, folks. Thank you, as always.
That was, of course, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, one person I just don't see enough in this business.
Oh, man. dude, one of the most honest men and nicest, and I really mean that. It's always entertaining. It's always great in the ring, and I cannot put over this card, this match, enough. $20, On Point Wrestling, Sewell, New Jersey. You have to be there. You have to. I'm going to be there. If I'm going to be there, everybody has to be there.
We're going to talk about that more after the break, but right now we are going to go to, in for this match that's coming up, of course, Summers and Tremont, Blood Will Flow from the Mystery Men, and we'll be right back after this.
jump around. When I get there, I fall down. Germs, we are the mystery men.
And they are here with The Blood Will Flow. Musica Enmascarada, available at lucha-rock.com.
That's right, you can pick it up for the cheap price of $9. Please support the mystery men. Before we move on, what, Dan?
I was just saying, not the iTunes price of $9.99. You're saving 99 cents.
That's right, you can pick it up at various places. They are on Bandcamp. Just search for the Mystery Men on Google, and you'll find everything you need to know about the Mystery Men. Now, On Point Wrestling presents Throwdown. Of course, it's this Saturday. Sports and More, 1855 Herfield Road, Seoul, New Jersey, 08080. Check. If you got to put it in the GPS, you need that zip code.
$20.
$20, doors open at 6:30.
Not a bad seat.
Making a correction from earlier.
How dare you?
Now, the King of the Underground, of course, taking on Scott Summers, is taking on the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. He could be wrestling himself. The demons that he has. They're going to exercise their demons in this match. There's a lot going on in the life of Matt Tremont. Of course, the passing of his father. That is one thing going on in his life. Plenty more I'm not privy to get into.
Mm-mm.
Scott Summers, the craziest man in professional wrestling, returns to On Point Wrestling this Saturday. These two are going to collide in a colossal match. Dan, where do you see it?
I'm going with Tremont. I went with Tremont this weekend. I'm going with Tremont. I think it's the factors that you just mentioned that I think gives him the mental/psychotic edge that I feel this match will go over Scott Summers. Not that I'd tell it to his face or anything.
Now, the cold-hearted play. Oh, I didn't give you my thoughts on that. Well, quite frankly, I'm not going to. This is a coin flip. This is two men looking for something to prove. Matt Tremont, even though he said he didn't particularly care about win or losses, I think that streak is probably in the back of his mind.
Before you continue, I'm going to correct myself. I passed on it.
Yes.
I'm going to change that and go with Tremont.
Well, there you go. I'm passing, Dan. I'm pulling out your card there.
You're loud, man. It's a hard decision.
Yeah. I am passing. Now, the next match that we're going to talk about, the cold-hearted playa, Danny Demento. Demento, however you want to say it, you say potato, I say potato. He's taking on Joker. Dan, this is a war years in the making.
It's almost one of those matches. it's almost built on the same that the Summers and Tremont is, but I don't think there's respect there. I think it's just hate for each other. There might be a little bit of respect there, but there's more hate, I think. I'm still going to go with DeManto.
Very difficult. Very difficult.
It is another tough one.
This is another coin flip, but the coin flips with Joker. I'm going to go with Joker on this one. Joker, very impressive in his first match back against Mike Drasik last on-point show. So we're going to see what happens here. Now, the next one's very interesting. And luckily, I don't have to call this match. Thank goodness, because the action is going to be fast and furious. There's going to be a special guest commentator. More on that the day of the show, I suppose. But we have the New York crowd taking on the Midwest crowd. It's a four-way dance. All these guys are very highly touted. Sam Shields and Chris Dickinson, Reed Bentley and Danny Cannon from the Midwest. Sam Shields has been on a tear, defeating such people as Grant Nakuma. He won the six-way last month over such people involved in that as a salient. Mark Angel, various others were also involved. Caveman was also involved in that match. He has been on a tear since that match when he defeated Grant Nakuma. Chris Dickinson, of course, he was in the war with Scott Summers. He defeated Joe Gacy, the Chainsaw. So you have that. Reed Bentley, very highly touted in the Midwest. Danny Cannon, another Midwest superstar coming to on point. A lot to prove in this one. A lot of pride. Dan, who do you pick in this one?
I'm going with Dickinson.
I'm going to go with Sam Shields. He has just been too damned impressive. We have another fantastic four-way. This is, of course, the signature match for On Point Wrestling. You have the Chainsaw Joe Gacy, a man I was very close to a year ago. Well, not quite a year ago.
Less than that, my friend. It's like 7 months.
Well, a year ago is when this whole plot was concocted. Concocted, whatever it is.
Yeah, you concocted. It's fine.
Not sure what I did, but there was a plot then. A very...
I know what you tried to do.
One hell of a plot. Now, Joe Gacy, the Chainsaw Joe Gacy, hasn't picked up a win yet in On Point Wrestling. Joey Janela, very impressive last month. I called it the match of the night, taking on Jaka last month. But he's here. He's 1-1 in On Point Wrestling. Corey Havoc is making his debut. And Latin Dragon, of course, picking up the very first win in On Point Wrestling history versus Xavier Cross. Now, Dan, where do you see this one? A lot on the line in this one, I do believe.
I thought about this, and I'm going to go with the decision I made before. I'm going with Chainsaw, Joe Gacy.
Now, let's
I'm going
forget.
With my favorite. It's a tough one. The choice between me for me is between the two Joes.
Sure, I can see that. Now, of course, let's not forget, Dan, that Joe Gacy has a lot of momentum, picking up a win over the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, just this past Saturday at CZW. So
it's a nice little feather in Mr. Gacy's cap right there.
For sure. Not a lot of people can say that, unless your name is Raven. But Raven, he made a career out of that man. Now,
yes, he did.
Opportunity Knox, that's the name of this match, because it's two youngsters, two 19-year-old phenoms, Dan. Josh Crane, another Midwesterner, taking on, really, I believe, the story of On Point Wrestling thus far, the heart and determination of Oz Tyler.
Oz Tyler has got a lot of fire and an amazing, we mentioned it before specifically, an amazing amount of talent in a little amount of time. I'm going with Oz.
Going with
Not to take anything away from Josh Crane, I'm just going with Oz.
Perhaps opportunity knocks for Oz Tyler. I don't think it's this month. I got to go with the Midwest sensation, Josh Crane. Now, this one is personal, Dan. Someone I got to know very well just yesterday. Stan the Man Styles. Somewhat of an enigma on the independent scene.
That's a good word for it.
Taking on... Shut up. Taking on... Ryan Castellucci.
Castellucci!
Now, where do you see this one, Dan? It is personal. Castellucci has to be certainly motivated after being called biscuit tits by Sam Silas.
Every time I hear that word, oh, I can't tell you. It was one of those old laughs we used to have on that other show where I'd pass out and lose track for 20 seconds.
Biscuit tits, it's one.
Biscuit tits. I gave it to Castellucci.
Hashtag it right now, Dan.
I'm going to. I'm way ahead of you on that one. but after, oh, man, I'm still going to go with Castellucci, but I don't know, man. The man literally might have Castellucci's number.
He very well could. Stan Styles, of course, very hot in on-point wrestling. He may be undefeated. And no, he is actually 2-1 in on-point wrestling. He did suffer a loss in his comeback match. He did not get pinned. However, he was on the losing side of that match. Now, this one's very interesting. It's the first time that EYFBO has actually teamed together. Now, they came to the company together, but injuries and various other things have kept them apart. They're finally together. Finally, the crowd will see what this fantastic team from New York has to offer. It's Mike Drastic, it's Angel Ortiz, collectively known as EYFBO, taking on highly entertaining wrestlers. Of course, that's the notorious one, Drew Blood. That's, of course, Xavier Cross. And they are managed by the Financial Miracle Loudy.
I have to go with HEW just because I think that the power they draw from that entrance is one of the most powerful forces in wrestling today. So I'm going with HEW. I asked this before, and nobody's been able to tell me, and I'll probably get the same answer. What
you
the hell?
I don't know. I asked Fredo Majors because Fredo had them on Riot Pro Wrestling show.
Get them on the show, and I want to know what the hell that means right now.
It has something to do with partying. Extremely young frat boys orgy.
Or
I don't
know.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'll go with HEW because they're awesome.
You know, I believe the combined effort of Drastic and Ortiz, the Funky Monkey Angel Ortiz, and Drastic Measures, I think we're going to see a lot here, and an impressive victory by the young team, as much as it pains me to say that, because, you know, I am quite the highly entertaining wrestling.
You never know, you might see some blood in that match.
You never know. Now, I didn't give you my pick for the Castellucci-Styles match. I think Styles is just on too much of a roll. I think he has Castellucci's number. Now, moving right along, we talked to LJ Cruz about this match. Apparently, everybody's talking to LJ Cruz these days. But the center of attention, Mark Angel, is taking on SoFi, hashtag Mr. VIP, LJ Cruz, in a match that the this match has gone over various promotions. And
it's a war.
It really is a war of attrition.
Oh, man. You know, I was so strong that my pick was LJ Cruz, but, man.
Mark Angel has a lot to prove, Dan.
I know. You know, I'm going to go. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch my pass for that match. I'm going to take Tremont and switch my pass to this match. It's too good. It really is.
I'm going to go with SoFly, Mr. VIP, LJ Cruz.
Sorry, LJ.
The support of the fans is just too much.
That might do it. I mean, Mark Angel is going to be hated against LJ.
Oh, certainly. LJ, one thing I will say about LJ Cruz, he holds that crowd in the palm of his hand, and that is certainly his crowd.
From the first beat of his music, sorry, Dean, to getting in that ring, to everything. You are right. He's got him right in that hand before he even walks out.
So fly, LJ Cruz.
Hell, I'm ready now. Oh.
That's right. One of the best entrances on the indie. So that's the card. It's $20 first come, first serve. There have been some pre-sales, so make sure you either contact the website. Make sure you know what's going on there, because there's a lot going on. Again, that is Sports and More, 1855 Herfell Road, Sewell, New Jersey, 08080.
Easiest way, onpointwrestling.webs.com. Very easy to type in. Right off, rolls right off the fingers.
That's right. So that's a big show. It's coming up this Saturday. MLJ and I will be calling the action. We'll be talking a bit more about this a little bit more the night before.
Hell yeah.
On After Midnight, we have a few other things to talk about on After Midnight as well, including Piers Morgan getting a verbal smackdown. So we'll be talking about all sorts of things come After Midnight, and that is, of course, this week. MLJ and I are pleased to present that to you as well. Now, moving on, just very briefly, the Yes Movement, guys, happened this past Monday night. It was an exciting thing to see, WWE finally getting on board with all their fans. Daniel Bryan's inserted into WrestleMania, taking on Triple H. If Bryan wins, he will be added to the World Heavyweight Championship match. Chris, I know you spoke about it briefly, but more thoughts on this match and this development.
I think it was I'm not going to say totally creative, but I thought it was a very good way to capitalize on the popularity of Daniel Bryan, of the whole deal about Batista and all the uncertainty surrounding WrestleMania. I think it was a very well-done segment. I thought it was a very elegant way to get Daniel Bryan into the title match. And I thought it was overall one of the best segments I've seen in a long time, both Daniel Bryan, the fans, and I kudos to Triple H and Stephanie, who played that whole scene perfectly.
Yes, definitely. It was just a great moment, I believe, for Daniel Bryan fans and for fans. Hopefully, maybe they're getting what they want. Dan, your thoughts?
I really couldn't add any more to it than Chris said. Like, I still feel it was kind of a not a slap in the face, it's the wrong phrase, but kind of an answer to all the BS that was going on Twitter about Chicago and hijacking Raw, which really didn't happen, in my opinion. So I think it went off great. I enjoyed the segment very much. It looked great, it sounded great, and it's going to be, I really think this is the catalyst for him. I just feel that.
Definitely.
Bryan.
Now, some other matches that were announced. Well, let's talk about this match a little bit more. Obviously, we're saying that he's going to beat Triple H. Now, do you think he sustained some type of injury furthering along that underdog, kind of very similar, I think, to Bret Hart and Owen Hart opening up WrestleMania 10? And then, of course, Bret had the match against Yokozuna later on. Very similar ending, with Bret Hart winning and this injured. How do you think this goes down? Dan, you first.
Man, I don't know.
It is a little early. I know we're going into this a tad bit early here.
Nah, it's all right. I think he's not going to make the main event. I want him to, like I said earlier.
So you think Triple H puts himself over in the match and kills it?
I don't think there's going to be a pinfall or a clear-cut win. You know what I mean? I think it's going to...
Kane gets involved, perhaps?
The word schmoz has been used before, and I'm going to go with schmoz, my friend.
Omega, your thoughts?
Have some discipline.
You know, I can see it opening the show. I don't really think you want to do an injury angle here. I think Bryan should go over, and I think he should certainly advance and put on a good showing at the heavyweight title match. I don't discount the possibility of the Authority somehow getting involved in the heavyweight title match and that somehow screwing Bryan out of the title. And that's what makes sense to me.
Do we see a return of CM Punk? Maybe not in the Undertaker match, but perhaps he comes out to stop the Authority. Maybe that's how he gets inserted into a main event role.
Or he just doesn't come back, because that's what I think is going to happen.
Or that. Or that. You...
Not to crap all over your thoughts. But...
Sanctimonious Chris, you. I love you, Chris. I really do.
It was amazing, Chris. Thank you for that. I was thinking the same thing.
I'm just saying, if he does come back, it would be WrestleMania.
I guess.
Perhaps he just needed some time off. That's the theory, of course. Maybe he is gone for good.
Am I...
Go ahead, Dan.
I want him to come back. Am I wrong for feeling that way?
I'd like to see him, too. I think he has a lot more to offer.
Yeah, I really
But if
feel...
he doesn't want to offer it, then what can we do?
The hell... No, I agree, but I just... He's so good. I don't, you know, I don't mean like, oh, my God, he's the greatest thing ever, but he's so good on the mic. I really want him to still be part of it.
I agree with you. That's why I keep on throwing these scenarios. Maybe one of them will be right, but perhaps Chris's is the most likely.
Well, I want to see him back, too, because there's plenty of wrestlers that are on TV that I don't want to see. But I mean, at this point, it's hard for me to... Hard for me to believe it's a work at this point. I think he's potentially done. Now, granted,
he will be on The Talking Dead this week.
Yeah, is he going on as Phil Brooks though?
That's interesting. They did say CM Punk when they advertised him.
Did they? Okay. I heard something about saying Phil Brooks, aka CM Punk.
Really? So. I last week when Chris Hardwick did plug it, he did say CM Punk will be here. So.
Well, I mean, nobody knows who Phil Brooks is. So.
True. And no one would care if he's sitting on that couch. They had one comedian on there. I know I'm going way off topic, and he was just really annoying.
Who was it?
I forget the comedian's name. Some loud, obnoxious fella.
Dan Cook?
No.
This is the first thing I thought about when you said loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, call it Chico?
I know who Dan Cook is, but we're getting
you
off topic
son
here.
Son of a bitch, Chris. You know what?
What, Bill?
I agree with Dean. You go to hell.
What, Bill Burr? Okay.
No.
Is that what he said?
No, he said Dan Colachico. Son of a bitch.
I didn't get a laugh on that.
Got a laugh here.
Yeah,
now,
it's late now. It's like, okay.
Well, I didn't hear it at first. I had to clarify exactly what you said.
I think the words were sanctimonious prick.
That is true.
Equal opportunity sanctimonious.
Anyway, let's forget about...
I love you, Chris. I'm kidding.
Let's forget about Phil Brooks here for a moment.
Sorry, dude. Good.
That was good. You caught me off guard with it. It was a carpet bomb.
Above average.
Anyway, now, let's talk about another match. Of course, John Cena, Bray Wyatt. Where do you guys this early see it going? Do you think Bray Wyatt gets the win? Cena gives him the old rub? Or are we going to see Triple H and Sheamus where Triple H wins for no unnecessary reason?
No, I think at this point, I really do believe Triple H has good intentions. I could be wrong. I see Wyatt.
I can go that way, too. Of course, Bray Wyatt, he picked up a big win over... A lot of big wins, actually, this year. Royal Rumble, of course, he picked up the win over Daniel Bryan. That got people all persnickety. That's 5 weeks in a row, people. They picked up the win... They picked up the win. I should have, like, the secret code, like Walking Dead does, you know, if you pick up the two words. You can be entered to win something. Now, of course, at Elimination Chamber, the Wyatts defeated the Shield. So, big year so far for him. I certainly see him going over here as well.
I don't see any reason to kill the momentum at this point.
Especially
no
for
way.
Cena, who doesn't...
Especially for Cena, yeah.
He doesn't suffer anything from the loss.
No.
So... Now, a very strange match here. I suppose this is a way to get people WrestleMania paydays, but Hulk Hogan comes out and announces the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It's a 30-man Battle Royal for a trophy. So far announced, Ryback, Big E, he's not Big E Langston anymore, and Curtis Axel. So, is this the Battle of the Undercard?
Yeah.
Chris, your thoughts on the Andre the Giant?
I like battle royals as a matter of principle, but I mean it's kind of to your point. It's just a way for guys to make a payday, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it. It could be fun. I don't really know who wins. I don't know if it matters as who wins, but I think it's fine.
It's probably setting up an angle because two guys. It will be a WrestleMania 4 rehash.
Yeah.
Where Bad News Brown and Bret Hart decided to have go into cahoots with each other and eliminate the Junkyard Dog, and then Bad News Brown, he's that dangerous loner, turns on Bret Hart.
It just depends. I think the trophy is not making it.
Exactly. Anytime you see a trophy, come on.
I mean, I saw that. I was like, oh, that's getting broken. Oh, man.
Well, not the Super 8 trophy. They have that in the storage unit.
Well, that's a good smart.
Now, moving right
along. A lot of those guys just swing stuff around.
Moving right along, we got Undertaker taking on Brock Lesnar. A lot of people say this shouldn't be the match because Brock's a little too stiff for Grandpa Taker. So, did you see the picture before he dyed the goatee? My God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God, these wars. That,
get old, man.
Whew, my goodness, the poor guy. The poor guy. Can we get another one out of him? Are they? I mean, it's only one time. He wrestled twice last year. Because he wrestled against the Shield and got powerbombed through the thing. So, what do you think? What do you think about this one? Dan, go ahead first.
I really, I don't know, man. I really feel this is it. I have that weird feeling. With years past, I was just talking, and this year, I just really feel that this is it for Taker, and he's going out doing what the good. I mean, he has so much. So many people say so many good things about him. And I think he's just going to do what the wrestler he is. He's gonna go down. He's gonna job.
Do you think Lesnar's the guy? I know we talked about this very briefly at the open of the show, but Lesnar's the guy to end the streak.
Do I think Lesnar's the guy?
What does Lesnar gain from this?
Do I think Lesnar is the guy? No. Do I think that's the way it's going to happen? And I'm going to go on record here and hope to hell I'm wrong. Yes, I do think the way it's going. And I hope I'm wrong. So if I'm wrong, can't go, you're wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Chris, your thoughts on that?
And I didn't mean you, Dean.
I know.
I think this could be a decent match. It's probably not going to be keep up with other Undertaker streak matches in the past, certainly. And I don't think this is Taker's time to end the streak. I mean, it may be his last match. Who knows? If it is, it's unfortunate that it's Lesnar, because I don't really think that's the best way to send off the Undertaker. But at this point, the streak in the legend around the streak is far more valuable than propriety and the whatever the wrestler's need is to go out on your back. The streak must not end it this way, and if you have to have a retirement match for Taker to go out,
Sting.
And then Sting next is Sting next year. I mean, well, then, but that's not even
obviously if they're gonna do the passing of the torch, they did it with The Rock.
Give it to Sting.
I'm kidding. Obviously,
why would you give it to an old guy?
It would be Cena.
Yeah, still?
Sure. Did Cena need the rub last year?
No, you're right about that.
Well, I mean, but you know, again, trying to put to booking of the WWE is a fool's errand.
True.
But I think if you're gonna have Undertaker go out, he doesn't go out at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't mind, and this is going to probably blow some people's minds, but I wouldn't mind if it was Cena to do it.
No,
if anybody,
it's better
I
than Brock,
go,
bro.
Well, yeah, but there's I don't think certain, Brock's going to do it.
There's a certain sense in Cena being the guy.
I thought maybe Punk last year because he was hot off the title reign. If it wasn't Punk, obviously they questioned his loyalty.
God, I hope I'm wrong, man.
I don't think it's Brock. If it's anything, maybe he says, look, maybe he's waiting for his 50th birthday. I thought he was waiting for 20-0 and then off to the sunset. And they even hyped it up like that when it was Triple H and Shawn Michaels in there with him, and they go out together and have that moment on the stage, but he came back for CM Punk the following year. So it's really hard to say what they want to do with Taker if the streak ends. I kind of agree with Chris.
Yeah.
However, I could see them definitely jobbing out Taker to Cena. But why at 31? Why not 30?
Well,
like the Bray Wyatt thing didn't have to happen this year. Or didn't have to happen at WrestleMania. They could have done it this year very easily.
Well, I mean, like you said, there's a certain sense to Cena being the guy to end the streak. And, you know, what we can sit here on the podcast and on the internet and say it doesn't make sense. It doesn't elevate a guy. It does. At the casual fan doesn't give a crap about that. The casual fan, it thinks Cena is Superman, and if Cena goes over the Taker and ends the streak, it will get a huge pop.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
So,
and
I mean,
of course, Cena's not getting any younger. He's 36 right now. By next year, he'll be 37 next year. So how many more injuries can Cena sustain? How long, what's his longevity looking like at this point? Maybe they're holding it off for another year. He gets a loss here. He's upset about it. They set up Undertaker the following year. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still would advocate for Daniel Bryan. Because, as you say, Cena is not getting any younger. And you need someone to take up the mantle next. And if CM Punk's out of the picture, who's next?
The only thing I say, I would hope it was a pinfall if it is Cena and not a tap out.
You know, but we may have a different view of this next year. Is it Roman Reigns next year?
Oh.
You know, is it Bray Wyatt next year?
Blasphemy.
Bray Wyatt.
That would be interesting. It depends how far along Bray Wyatt comes. I don't see Bray Wyatt rising above where he is right now, though, quite frankly. I mean, if he beats Cena, certainly that is a boost, but I don't see him as a world title guy.
How about Dean Ambrose?
I do see Dean Ambrose as a world title guy, because he has held a world title before. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see him carrying that mantle. Whether WWE sees that's a totally different story. Now, of course, the main event as it stands right now is Randy Orton taking on Batista. They backed themselves into a nasty little corner with this one. I don't even think this is going to be the match. I think we should talk about it as if Daniel Bryan's involved. How do you guys see it this early?
I'm going to stay with what I said before and, again, hope I'm wrong. I think somehow Batista's going to win. I'm going to go with your original thought, and they're going to still hold the trigger on this one, on the Daniel Bryan thing.
Very well could be true, Chris.
I disagree. I think they're going to want to make a big splash with the WWE Network. They're going to want to send the fans home happy. I think Daniel Bryan goes over.
I'm not going to watch WWE anymore because Batista won.
Now, for myself,
I can't believe it.
I hate wrestling. It's real.
I will reserve judgment until we get closer.
Then why'd you ask us?
Well, I was asking your opinion. So I could further gain my opinion.
Okay.
You're the analyst. I'm just the guy. I'm the moderator, if anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Got you.
Please.
Take that to the grave with me.
Now.
Shenanigans!
Of course, next week, it's the return of Girls Night.
Woo-hoo! Oh, sweet.
Missy Sampson, of course. Roommate of Keiko of the Flying Hawaiian, as we found out last week. What's for dinner? # And Kimberly will be joining us as well. Of course, she has made quite a splash in CZW. We had her on way back in June of 2012. A lot has happened in her career. I can't wait to catch up with Kimberly and Missy Sampson, because whenever we have Missy on, good things always follow. Right, Dan?
It usually is a great... Something great always happens when Missy is on the air. That's all I'm going to say.
That's for sure.
Angelina Love,
we've talked to because of Missy. We talked to Daphne.
Sorry.
So, certainly a lot going on there. So that's next week. Can't wait for that. Of course, Friday night will be the return of After Midnight with MLJ, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as MLJ and I break down whatever the heck we feel like talking about. Of course, that is very close to Throwdown, an event we'll be calling. Not only that, we're also going to be discussing, like I said, Piers Morgan. He had a falling out there. Now, next week, Dan, you're taking the week off.
We're taking the week off. It's a shame because there's two big things I wanted to talk about. But, yeah, we're taking the week off. I will not be available next week.
On the show? On this? Or?
No, for Obey the Pub.
Oh, okay.
That's it. No, I'll be available by Wednesday. Monday, I'm going to give the fiance a – I'm going to count it as her birthday week off.
Very well.
And I'm going to – we'll be back for Hell in the Cell, my friend.
There you go. So you'll be back in time for HIAC, my friend.
I would not miss Ladies' Night, my friend.
It's Ladies' Night. It's Missy Sampson. It is Moose Knuckle returns next week. So if you need hockey, well, we can't give you hockey next week. We'll give you Moose Knuckle Radio. And we're going to keep you up to date with Tremont's Truth. We're going to have more footage to discuss on Tremont's Truth and various other projects as well.
Obey the Putt will be back the 24th, my friend.
That's very true, Dan. Have off. If you have off 1 week, then I imagine you would be returning on the 24th.
You would think that, but some people, you never know. So I'm just covering my bases.
Covering the bases, that is what...
Or the lines, if you're a hockey guy, person.
I'm certainly not. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a blue line and a red line.
Sorry to say, the tickets are gone, so they are spoken for. That's your own fault, people. You could have called in and you could have went to the ACC. They are spoken for, however.
You can ride to North Carolina, but no, you decided to be...
No, you decided to be lazy.
So,
you could have spent the day in lovely Greensboro.
Now,
in Greensboro, nothing.
Now, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
DanLaw83 and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. You can also follow the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook, facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Go to the website. It's HIACTalkRadio.com, and there's more links once you get there. Links to the Pinterest, links to the YouTube, links to the Google Plus page, if that's your thing.
Blasphemy.
It certainly is not a thing of mine.
That's definitely a character.
Make sure you take on Throwdown. That's coming up, on Saturday night, 7 o'clock bell time, Sports and More, Seoul, New Jersey, headlined by Matt Tremont, our guest tonight, as well as Scott Summers. Make sure you check out everything from On Point Wrestling at On Point Wrestling, drop the G on Twitter and onpointwrestling.webs.com. Make sure you check out Double Stomp Video at Double Stomp Vids on Twitter. Big shoot coming up next week. Chrissy Rivera from CZW sits down with the Dean of Credibility, and there's going to be a lot covered. We've already had some discussion. And let's just say this is something you will not want to miss. Matt and I have discussed it. We're expecting 4 hours.
Jesus.
So, on that note, I cannot wait for Girls Night next week. And make sure you follow the Twitter at HIC Talk Radio. Follow me at Folsom County. Follow Dan at DanLaw83. And follow Omega Squad, of course, ironically enough, at Omega Squad. But you guys have a good week. We'll talk to you after midnight with MLJ.